This is Phil Ferrand, and I am driving home. So you've probably noticed by now that the sound is a little different this week. I'm not sure it's better yet, frankly, because I'll have to see after I get home and actually play this back. Last week, that would be on episode one. I kind of liked all the road noise and everything, but it was a little hard to understand me at spots, so I'm actually using a headset mic tonight. I've already had one opinion that says that she liked the road noise better because she said it felt like I was in the car with you. So, you know, we'll try this. If it works, fine. If it doesn't, fine. But this is episode two, and it's actually Thursday, not Friday. Woohoo! Because I got enough stuff done this week that I don't think I'm going to have to go into my major client tomorrow, which not that I mind going into my major client. They've been a good, good client for me. But I think I've gotten enough done this week. There's nothing pressing tomorrow unless I wake up tomorrow and something is bad broken. I think I can spend the whole day at home just doing my thing on my books, which is very cool. On Saturday, I was sitting in a booth at the local restaurant called Scrambler's here on Chestnut Expressway, and I was waiting for the young couple that I have breakfast with. You know, they have a little one, and mom's pregnant, so things take a little longer to get ready, which is just fine. It gives me a little opportunity to look over the news in my iPhone, and I came across an article. And, you know, just about instantly after I came across this article, I thinks to myself, oh, yeah, definitely, we are talking about this. And so I've actually talked about it with a few of the people I've met with this week, and I thought I would pass it along to you all. Not only is the article itself kind of just intriguing, and some would say, you know, a bit jarring, beyond that, I think it says some very, very interesting things about how men and women relate to each other in our society, and how we value things in our society. And if we would just stop sometimes for a few minutes and just think about things, maybe we would value things in other ways. Because one of the tricks that the flesh plays on us is throwing pixie dust and generating enough noise that we just take certain things for granted. Whereas if we just stop a minute and just think about it, we'd think, you know, maybe that doesn't make as much sense as I think it makes. So anyways, I'm reading this article. Last Wednesday, that was March the 25th, there was a Game Developers Challenge at the Game Developers Conference that was hosted in San Francisco. This is like the sixth year for this challenge. The Game Developers Conference, a bunch of game developers get together, just what it sounds like, and they have seminars, you know, based on developing games and people are improving their skill sets, that sort of thing. The challenge itself is hosted by a game developer called Eric Zimmerman, I think that's his name. And he really has been trying to get people to think differently about video games. And that's really part of what the challenge is about. It's about thinking of something other than shoot 'em ups and monsters and, you know, dragons and those kind of things. So what he does is he has enough pull in the industry, apparently, that he invites top-tier game designers to come in and to participate in this challenge. And about 3 weeks ahead of time, he goes ahead and he picks a topic, and then he puts it out there for the guys and gals, as the case may be, and they develop storyboards and maybe some demo screens and that kind of stuff, and then they come together at the conference, and they have the challenge presentation where they all kind of show what they've developed, and then the audience members vote on what is the best game. And so it's kind of a way for, you know, game developers to compete head-to-head in areas that they don't normally do. And, you know, it's kind of a good time was had by all type of a thing. Well, in the past, he's used topics like build a game based on Emily Dickinson poetry. Well, that's pretty interesting. Or build a game that has the potential to win the Nobel Peace Prize. So that's pretty interesting, too. Apparently, the topic that he picked this year was controversial enough that the sole female game developer who was invited to come to the challenge actually had to withdraw because her employer, her company, found out about it, found out about the topic, and basically said, no, we don't think so. So she withdrew, and that left an opening very close to the time of the conference, from what I understand, according to the article. And they did, however, find a team of two women developers, I guess who weren't quite as top tier, but nonetheless heard about the challenge, wanted to participate, and said, listen, we'll step into that slot and we'll make a presentation. And they were happy to have them, so they said, yeah, okay, come on. Apparently, they were only able to have about 36 hours to prepare their presentation. So that's not really a whole lot of time. And according to the article, the audience understood they didn't have much time, and so they kind of cut them some slack for that. But lo and behold, the two women team, the only women who were actually participating in the challenge, they won. So, you know, congratulations to them. It's certainly an accomplishment. You know, they were up against the defending champion from last year and all that kind of stuff, who had had weeks to prepare his game, but they beat him out. They said it was a narrow margin, but nonetheless, they beat him out. Okay, well, great. You know, I think that's terrific. So I'm sure you're wondering by now, okay, what's the topic, Phil? Well, we'll get to the topic in a minute. First of all, let's kind of tell you about the presentation that was made by the runner-up. And his idea for the game, you would actually have like three stages to the game. The first stage would be like the awkward high school stage, and then the second stage would be like the more promising college stage, and then the final stage would be the much better stage of dating and eventual marriage. Okay, that's nice. You know, that's nice. Certainly not very controversial, but it's nice. I know you're thinking, okay, so what's the topic? Let's get to the topic in a bit. As far as the women's team, since there were two of them, they actually developed a game that had two different levels. And within each level, there were mini-games. And they suggested that these mini-games could be played on, like, a Nintendo Wii because you have the little remote that you can kind of move around, or an iPhone because, you know, you have a touchscreen that you can kind of use. And it was a whole series of mini-games, and there was a whole series of mini-games in both levels, but I'll just pick some randomly out that I can actually remember. One of the mini-games involved the female character, because the game was definitely written from the female perspective, for reasons that will become obvious in a second, the female character picking out the right dress. And the right dress was defined as a dress without zippers that could get caught, and not too many buttons, and not too many ties. The female character also, you know, needed to, like, shave her legs, and so there was a mini game with her shaving her legs, and she got deducted points if she missed, like, the all-important area around the knees. And there was another game with the female character preparing dinner, and you had to make sure that you didn't include garlic in the dinner. And, you know, there was another game that consisted of the female character making the first move, because the games were about a female character preparing for the night that she would be deflowered, because the game topic was build an autobiographical game about losing your virginity. Okay, well, you know, I understand they're trying to think outside the box, and that's fine. You know, I mean, people can do whatever they want to do, and the women involved in this challenge decided to step up to the challenge. But there were a few things that just immediately struck me as interesting about this, about these women building a game documenting their first times. And the game was called Our First Times. The first thing that struck me about this was that even though they had the least preparation, and the article seemed to suggest that they had the fewest number of details in their presentation, they actually won. They won. Which, you know, okay, good. But I'm sitting there thinking about this room full of male game developers, because if you don't know, developers are basically all men, listening to this presentation about how that the woman would shave her legs. And I'm thinking, do these guys really want to play this game? Or are they just far more interested in women playing this game to practice preparing themselves to be deflowered? And I would suggest that it's probably the latter. Not to take anything away from the women's effort, but, you know, I'm just thinking that probably this was not a game that men were willing to vote for themselves, but would be more than happy to vote for their girlfriends playing many times in a row. The other thing that struck me about this game is that in the presentation, if the article is to be believed, in the presentation, the women made frequent comments to the fact that as they prepared themselves, they had to think of all the angles because basically their boyfriends were clueless. Couldn't be too many zippers because zippers might get stuck. Couldn't be too many buttons because apparently that would confound their boyfriends. Couldn't be too many ties. Had to make sure dinner didn't have garlic. Had to make the first move because, you know, the poor guy just doesn't get it. And this was the point when I thought, you know, maybe it would be good to just step back for a minute and think about this. And the question that came to my mind was, what is so valuable about losing one's virginity that women are willing to proceed with men whom they consider to be clueless? I mean, do... you know, I think I'll just let that one lie there and we'll move on to another topic. Anyways, like I said, it was an interesting topic for discussion. This week as well, we pretty much wrapped up another topic of discussion surrounding my tax refund. I should explain that I'm a little bit paranoid about the government, and so I always just give the government a lot of money every year. I mean, I overpay, and I know that I overpay, but that's okay, because when it comes to the end of the year and I have overpaid by thousands of dollars, I just tell the government, no, no, you can just keep it for next year. And it causes me comfort because I have convinced myself, whether it's true or not, that if I just let them keep that money, I stand less of a chance of getting audited. So every year I end up starting the year with a fairly significant amount of money coming back to me. And I let the government keep that, and then I just pay myself back as I'm making my estimated payments, you know, in the coming months. So it takes me like 6 months to get the money, but that's okay. You know, I'm patient. It doesn't really matter. Quite frankly, this year, as in years in the past, it's going to amount to thousands of dollars. And so I thought, well, here's an interesting topic for discussion that may reveal something about ourselves. A couple of weeks ago, I started asking the friends that I get together with. I said, okay, you know, I've got thousands of dollars coming back in a tax refund. So, in this economy, what should I do with this money? You know, trying to be a wise person about my finances, you know, trying to see the times and understand the times, what do I do with this money? You know, do I invest in real estate? Do I invest in stocks? Several people jokingly suggested that I put it in a tin can and bury it in the backyard. You know, do I invest in gold? And, I mean, we kicked around a lot of stuff. One friend said quite appropriately, he said, well, do you have any debts? And I said, nope. I said, we are completely debt-free, and that includes our house. I mean, that's something that we've worked on. We are debt-free. He said, okay. We said, well, that would be my first suggestion. And then he kind of paused and kind of grinned a little bit, and he said, I think I would suggest guns and ammunition. And I bust out laughing, and he knew. And he was only kind of half joking, because the next thing he said was, and not only guns and ammunition, but I would suggest you get some training, so when that guy comes into your house with the gun, you can meet him with lethal force and get the job done. You know, and I kind of looked at him and smiled. I said, you know, there are things that seem like a good idea to us that maybe aren't such a good idea if we just back up and think about them. And in fact, maybe there are things that would be a better idea. And now I kind of had his attention, and I said, how about this? How about if a guy comes into my house with a gun to rob me, and I putter out of my bedroom, and very calmly I look at him and I say, can I help you? You know, obviously you've come into my house, you apparently have a need. Is there something I can assist you with? We don't really carry that much cash in the house, but we have some. If you're interested in that cash, I'm more than happy to give you that. I mean, there's a plasma screen TV hanging on the wall. It's pretty heavy, but, you know, we can get that down if you'd like. At one time, that was a $2,000 plasma screen TV. And I mean, I only paid $379 for it. And, you know, I've got an iPhone in the back that at the time I bought it was worth $400. I mean, I only paid $50 for it because of the things that I do on the internet. But if you have a need, you can have it. It doesn't really mean that much to me. And after I kind of went through that scenario, I paused and I looked at my friend, and my friend got kind of a chagrined look on his face, and he said, you know, I think you would stand a much better chance of not getting shot with that approach. And I smiled and I said, yes, I think I would. Because, you know, flesh inspires flesh. And within every person, there is spirit. And if you can just get things quiet enough and calm enough, you can usually touch a person's spirit and get them to think about things in a different way. So there were a lot of suggestions that came along. Really, what everyone kind of settled on was the idea of perhaps expanding my internet service provider business, because that's been a pretty good thing for me. I mean, I invested, actually over-invested in that because I didn't know what I was doing, but I invested about $35,000, and now it's paying me, after tithe and taxes and all that kind of stuff, about $500 a month. So, you know, $6,000 a year on a $35,000 investment, that's pretty good. You know, it's 15, 16%, certainly much better than I'm doing in the stock market. And I am pursuing some of that. You know, there is in this stimulus package the Rural Internet Initiative, and I'm currently investigating what would be involved in putting up a higher tower and expanding, because that's the thing that's really limiting me now. I only have a 100-foot tower, and I could really use a 200-foot tower. But in the midst of all those conversations, as they were winding down last week, I suddenly realized that I had completely skipped past one of the most obvious and potentially one of the most valuable things that I could do with the money. And it suddenly dawned on me as I was rehearsing the Lord's Prayer, as I usually do several times a week, that I had missed this option. Now, I should tell you, I don't do a normal version of the Lord's Prayer. I actually do a modified version that I wrote under the suggestion of the Holy Spirit, because for years there was one phrase in the Lord's Prayer that I couldn't get. I mean, I couldn't get my brain around it. And that's, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I couldn't figure out why I needed to pray that. But Jesus said it, so I'd pray it, you know. And then one day, as I was discussing this with God, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, look, why don't you rewrite the Lord's Prayer so that you're the answer? And I have the result of that actually posted on the philferrin.com website. If you just go to the front page and go down to the bottom with the links and back up a couple of articles, it's at the bottom of one of the articles. But one of the phrases in there that is a takeoff on Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread is, remind me not to hoard your wondrous provision, but release them with gladness to those around me, knowing that just as you have cared for me today, you will care for me tomorrow. Because when you think about the concept of daily bread, that concept is really a concept of provision. And anything that you have extra, you can just share that with others, and it's okay. Because God's provided for you today, God will provide for you tomorrow. And so as I was praying that one day, I heard the whisper and I went, oh, after all this time of us talking about what am I going to do with my tax refund, not once did I or anyone else say, maybe you'd just like to give some of that money away. And as soon as I had that thought, I remembered an idea that I had earlier this winter. And I thought, you know, I'm doing that. I had this idea that what I needed to do was go to Walmart and say, okay, I'd like to set up a table outside your front doors there. And I'm going to set up a table, and I'm going to have the bucket like all the other people have that sit outside your doors, and I'm going to have my clipboard like everyone else does, and I'm going to sit at the table, and I'm just going to sit there with my clipboard, and then when somebody comes by and asks me what I'm doing, I'm going to reach into the bucket, pull out a $5 bill, hand it to them, and say, I'm waiting for people to walk up and ask me what I'm doing, and I'm giving them a $5 bill. Just think of it as my economic stimulus package. Now, the people that I have talked with about this, I'm getting my mail at the moment, they've all kind of given me this blank stare like, what? So why are you going to do that? Just because I want to see what's going to happen. I mean, what will happen? Will nobody walk up to me because we're so confined and isolated by our flesh that we don't initiate? I mean, that's a very real possibility. I could sit there for the entire day and not give away one $5 bill. Another possibility would be is some little kid's going to run up to me and say, I'm going to give them a $5 bill, and their parents are going to get mad because, you know, they're taking money from strangers. But the other possibility is that intrigues me is, so once I give one of these away, what happens next? I mean, do people go tell their friends? Do they feel like it's valuable enough that they want to share? Do they get on the phone? I can tell you what, if some teenager ends up with one, I imagine a text message is going to go out, and I'm going to get deluged pretty quickly. But that's going to all just kind of be part of the deal as well. And I'm just really interested to see. And so that's one of the reasons. I am actually home at this point, but I'm not quite done, so we'll talk some more. But the other thing that I'm interested in experiencing is that sometimes in our lives, we have things that we value that really aren't worth valuing. And we hold on to them, and we hold on to them because we're told by our flesh, you should hold on to that, because if you let it go, you might not get it back. And so I would like to just have an experience where I give away $1,000 or $2,000 and just give it away. Because ultimately, it's not really that important. And it sure just sounds like a lot of fun. My daughter said, you know you're going to get an article in the paper. Well, okay, maybe I will, maybe I won't. But I think it's a way that I can just share with others and not hoard my resources, because God has provided for me today, and I am absolutely convinced that He will provide for me tomorrow. I have made it home. Have a great weekend.